skills that you practice it to be. The line is long for you and me.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver and online at CITR.ca. This is What Pink Sounds Like. In the next hour, join me, your host, Ashley Kissman, as we celebrate women in media and in music. Increasing feminist content on the airwaves, one song at a time.
Let us make a change. Why can't we turn the page? Let make a safer. You and your thoughts are the young safer. Let us make a change. Why can't we turn the page?
You're listening to What Pink Sounds Like right here on CITR. And I've got a great show for you today. If you're just tuning in, you just heard Cole Patrone. He was on air with Oswaldo in the morning after show, and he sounded amazing. You should check out his new album called Storyteller. Anyways, guys, lots going on in the show today. Big interview with new Canadian band Kill Matilda. Their first album, titled I Want Revenge, is all about dealing with a zombie apocalypse. Well, they had me at zombie because I just love zombies. So it's going to be pretty cool. So stay tuned for that. And I also want to just say a big thank you to everyone who donated to our CITR fund drive. Thanks to you, we raised over $23,000. If you were on vacation or living under a rock when this happened and did not get a chance to donate and still want to, CITR is still accepting donations. Just go to CITR.ca to find out how you can still do that. This last Friday was CITR's fund drive finale at the Biltmore Cabaret. And one of the bands on the lineup was Synth Cake. And they had a really big lighted thing on her head. The main singer did. It was pretty cool. So here they are now with Musicophilia. Don't go anywhere.
Musicophilia, musicophilia. Musicophilia, musicophilia, da na na da 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 da. I risk my well-being just to play with it, to learn its tangled mystic ways. We'll dance the dance.
It's a shame, tapping on my window pane. It's a shame, never goes away. It's a shame, oh, but it's a gentle rain. It's a shame, 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 shame.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. Liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
...2011 marks the 25th anniversary of the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Chinese Garden since opening in 1986. The Dr. Sun Yat-sen Chinese Garden is very pleased to have been able to connect cultures and communities for the past 25 years and continue being an arts and cultural hub in the neighborhood and the city. Watch for complimentary specials on the 25th day of every month. There are also blockbuster exhibits, community events, academic conferences, and music and theater productions lined up, plus contests and giveaways. CITR 101.9 FM is proud to be a year-long partner as the Garden celebrates its 25th anniversary. For more information, visit www.vancouverchinesegarden.com.
Show your Friends of CITR card or simply mention that you heard about the garden on CITR to receive $2 off admission.
Well, you're listening to What Pink Sounds Like right here on CITR. I'm Ashley Kissman. If you're just tuning in, we've got a great show for you. I have the band, well, two members of the band, Kill Matilda, in studio with me. I've got Dusty and Michael. Say hi, guys. What's going on?
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. We're hanging out. And first, let me tell you a bit about Kill Matilda. If you listened to last show, I played one of their songs, Zombie Apocalypse. And that pretty much kind of sums up their latest album called I Want Revenge. Just to give you a bit of an intro on these guys, they are touring and moving around Canada. Kill Matilda has called BC, Quebec, and Ontario home within the past year. And they finally have released their first full-length album, which is called I Want Revenge. Now, you know, I Want Revenge is such like a powerful name. And I think when I first listened to this album, and they'll have to correct me if I was wrong, it could be described easily as like a concept album. There's this overall theme or a story to tell. Even the press release says they are charged with the task of clearing the nation of a spreading zombie epidemic. I love it. I love zombies in general. So, I mean, if you don't like zombies, I don't know.
You're listening to the wrong show.
Yeah.
Tune out, jerks.
We might have to... We can persuade them. Maybe we can
persuade
them.
Okay, you can stay tuned in, but
okay.
Open your mind.
Open your
mind. To
the undead, but the gross undead. And Kill Matilda's job is to kill the undead, of course. So Kill Matilda's rising to the challenge of zombie management, specially trained to combat these unruly creatures. And I think this is my next favorite line in your press release that I got from you guys. Kill Matilda is armed with two dangerous tools. Their bone-crushing music and front woman Dusty Exner's famous cookies.
Aww.
You're like, yeah, my cookies are pretty good.
They do open a lot of doors.
So I Want Revenge was recorded at Vancouver's Nimbus Studios after the band's self-titled DIY EP won over Garth Richardson and the students of Nimbus. And for those who don't know, Nimbus is a Vancouver School of Recording Arts. So, yeah, how was that experience? How was recording in Vancouver?
It was so awesome because our first album we just recorded like in our... like in our homes and our kitchens and in garages. And so like we were doing everything ourselves and making sure like it was quite a lot of work, you know, even though it was only six songs because we really wanted it to be good quality. We didn't want to skimp. So to like be able to work with state-of-the-art equipment and have other people like whose job it is to do it for you and like you tell them what you want and then you come back, you know, a week later or whenever and you can actually like kind of hear what you asked for put into like... into action is like really a luxury, I think.
Yeah.
And we were lucky enough to get like one of the best students, I think. Wes Kennedy was our producer and he is really awesome. Like mad props to him. If anyone out there is recording an album and it's heavy in the slightest, find Wes Kennedy. He's on my Facebook. He kicks ass. He plays in the band. He's the drummer from Nihilate. They're a Vancouver metal band.
Nice.
And so he did a great job. Yeah.
So he kind of already knew the sound you guys were going for, which is more of like a metal garage rock sounding type of album.
Yeah, definitely. We talked a lot about it. The other good thing about recording at Nimbus was that at the time we lived like just two buildings down. And in that area of town, it's right around Main and Second Avenue, and there's, like, really nothing around there. And we did a lot of, like, overnight, all-night recording sessions. So we ate a lot of filet of fish from McDonald's.
Oh, no.
A lot of filet of fish burgers. And because our drummer, like, he loves filet of fish from McDonald's. So there was a lot of McDonald's all-night, like, coffee from the Shell station type.
Oh, man.
Type events.
Good old music to get the brain fueling and
It's like the healthiest thing you can get from McDonald's, really.
Is it?
Well, it's fish, so
no, they have salads unhealthy. There.
I feel like even the salads are unhealthy though, because they're full of like.
Cut them some slack.
Okay, all right.
So now, Dusty, you are the vocals.
Yep.
In the band, do you play an instrument as
well?
Yes,
I play rhythm guitar.
Excellent. And Michael, you are the bassist.
Yeah, I'm the bassist, and I co-produce the album. I do a lot of the pre-production work that we work through in the studio and stuff. It's a pretty good challenge to get everything rolling the way. And yeah, like having that focus on what we wanted the album to specifically sound like and the directions that we wanted to go through. Just seeing that like what we wanted and what we had in the practice space translated onto the recording properly.
Totally. And the recording sounds great. It sounds I would never guess it's a student did it. I mean, he's probably not like that much of a student.
Well, he was like he was graduating at that point.
Yeah.
That point.
Okay.
And he was supervised by Garth Richardson. So he would, if he had any problems, he could simply bring it to Garth and be like, there's this issue that we're having. And he had like the expert among experts in Canada listening to it.
And
yeah, Futch and Sean Cole, some of the great professors they have there. So if he ever ran into a problem, he had resources, you know, and not just had to guess, you know. So it was awesome for us.
Yeah.
Tell me about the other two band members in your band that make up Kill Matilda.
Well, that's actually, there's actually four. Because we sort of have, we have regional members, I guess you could say. If you actually look at our album, there's six people in there. The reason why is because we, so our original lead guitarist is Marlene Lau. And she wrote some of the songs on the album, and her and I are the founding members of Kill Matilda. And she moved to Montreal ahead of us, and she went 8 months before. So while she was gone and we were still in Vancouver, we had Dave Roberts on guitar filling in. So he's our West Coast lead guitarist. Then we made the move to Montreal, and Marlene resumed her position as guitarist, but our drummer, Marcus, he stayed as the West Coast drummer, and we had a different drummer whose name was Pinner on the East Coast, or not East Coast, but I guess more Central Canada. Feels like the East Coast when you're on the West Coast, but in Ontario and Quebec, we had Pinner. So for a while we were like Dusty, Mike, Marcus, and Dave. Then for a while we were Dusty, Mike, Marlene, and Pinner. And then Pinner didn't come on tour, and Marlene unfortunately was
bitten
and killed by a zombie, and that's a you know, definitely like a big F up on our part. You know, we weren't ready. We were caught with our pants down, unfortunately.
Where were your cookies? Where were your cookies?
Exactly, right? Well, the cookies aren't for the zombies. They're more to, like, get us, you know, get us in the doors of other people's buildings. But so we, you know, we called Dave up and we said, quick, our lead guitarist has died. A horrible, tragic, zombie-infested death. We need a lead guitarist. So he came out. And Marcus was in China at the time, and then he came back from China. So we toured back here on a 2-month cross-Canada tour, and now we're Dusty, Mike, Marcus, and Dave again. Wow. So we've kind of had, we have sort of like a rotation going on, because it's like it's pretty hard to like move, like to move all the time and to go everywhere, and a lot of people have like jobs and girlfriends and, you know, that kind of thing.
Grown-up stuff.
Right, exactly. And, you know, unfortunately when you're an indie band, there's just not there's not money, right? Like there's money to get, you know, to the next city or maybe have a meal, but there's not like money to pay your rent. So we try to accommodate all of our members, I guess, by like not pressuring them to do what they can't do, and just like we're comfortable with having a rotation, I guess.
I think that's a challenge, you know, that you just said that a lot of indie bands and up-and-coming artists face, is when you have a group of people that you want to perform with and some are different cities, or someone takes a job in another city, or someone has a spouse that they need to look out for. I mean, it's just, I think it's one of the challenges with choosing this path, right?
Right, yeah.
I think we've actually had like 13 members.
Well, in total. Like, but like functional members. I would say some of those people get like dishonorable mention.
Not even zombie bitten.
No. We love Marlene. She no dishonorable mention for her. It was tragic and untimely, right? It was the whole thing, right?
I have to ask about the whole zombie theme. You know, the joke is, at first, you know, at least in the popular culture, Hollywood, TV, HBO scene, it seems that zombies are the new vampires when it comes to the undead. And we talked a bit about this before we turned on the mic. Where did you get the idea to do this zombie theme? Where did it come from?
Well, this is the thing. It's not so much as an idea as it is a lifestyle choice for us. You know, we've received special government training from CSIS to be able to combat the zombie threat. We're uniquely qualified in that we have a cover story to go, you know, to different places in Canada without alarming too much suspicion, right? One of the most important things about a localized zombie epidemic, which is how most zombie epidemics are, like, right? Like in the movies, it's always catastrophic. It's the end of the world. The truth is that I think we're all coming to terms with the fact that zombies are something that just need to be managed, right? Yeah. It can get out of hand, like, you know, the way that swine flu can, but it's like any other epidemic, you got to nip it in the bud, right? So with localized zombie epidemics, you don't want it. The worst thing that you can do is like incite fear, right? If you start saying, oh my god, there's zombies or there's undead walking among us, people are going to flip out, they're going to start looting, it's going to be the Stanley Cup riots all over again. So we're able to come in, you know, we're just here to play some rock and roll, that's cool, you know, no big deal, right? And, you know, if we happen to eradicate the zombie population in any given area at the same time, then all the better.
It works out.
Yeah.
So let's play.
We also have no shame or fear, which makes us also good candidates for zombie eradication.
Oh.
Yeah.
We don't mind getting our hands
dirty. We're psychopaths, really, is what I'm trying to say.
But psychopaths that have a very benevolent mission.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we're nice to you. I mean, we like you.
That's good.
You know, you haven't seen our mean side.
As long as I don't come into, like, turn into a zombie.
Just don't get bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Don't get bit.
I will not get bit.
And if you do, no, it's no, like, nothing personal. You know? Just part of the job.
Just business.
Just pop my head off.
Yeah.
Let me die quickly. Well, it's funny because I asked because I'm a super fan of the Walking Dead TV show on HBO right now. I know a lot of my friends read the comics. Yeah.
We have some very involved, like, character analysis discussions. Actually, just this morning, see, Michael is all on Shane's side. He really feels for Shane's situation, whereas I feel that the issue with Shane's behavior in The Walking Dead is that when you're a member of a group in survival mode, like, you're gonna have to, like, go along with the group's choices, and essentially, like, by breaking free of kind of like what the group would have preferred. The thing about Shane is that he's comfortable living in, like, this world where you have to make these hard choices, and, like, you know, sometimes you got to shoot a fat guy, right? But the thing about, like, you know, Dave and Rick and what's her name? Louise? Lori? I can't even remember. Oh, this is the other thing. What is the... Okay, I'll get back to that. So they're all, like, very humanitarian, and they haven't come to terms yet with, like, this new world order. So the thing is that Shane just sort of can't go off and just, like, and enforce this new mentality on them, because it's going to just turn out badly for him, whether he's doing the right thing or not. Michael feels differently.
Oh, big time. Big time.
The other...
He goes about his business, but he goes about it, like, non-violently. You know, like, Shane, when he confronted Dale and he took the guns... Sorry if no one's watched it. Doesn't know.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Stop listening for the next couple minutes.
Shane takes the guns from Dale and, like, he does it and he confronts him in an aggressive but a strong way. But he takes them from him in a non-violent fashion. You know, he doesn't even strike this guy who's, like, insulted him... Told him he saw him wanting to kill his best friend. Accused him of doing something that he did do, but still, like, called him out. He could have taken that opportunity to show that he was a truly bad person, but he's not.
But he's not. Michael has sympathy for Shane. The other thing that I really find problematic about The Walking Dead is that there are no strong female characters. Every female character on that show is a kind of jerky, annoying, whiny bitch. Yeah. Like, what is her name? Andrea? Oh my God, I can't stand her. The woman, I don't even know her name, the mother of Sophia with the gray hair.
Yeah.
She's always crying and whimpering and just, ugh. Then the woman who, like, Glenn gets with, you know, honey, she is just like,
honey, I'm gonna say something right now. We could have a whole show about how women are
sorry, I'm totally off
in TV shows, but we're gonna take a quick break. If anyone is super confused as to what we're talking about right now, check out Walking Dead on HBO or download it or whatever. It's
on AMC actually.
On AMC, not HBO. It's a very good show. There's also a comic book about it. But first, I want to play probably the song that perhaps inspired this first mission. It's called The Zombie Apocalypse. Tell me quickly about the song, and then we'll play it for our listeners for you.
It's all about the zombie apocalypse and how to survive.
You need to get ready.
That's pretty much it.
Here it is, Zombie Apocalypse by Kill Matilda.
One, two, three, four! Get ready now. Get
you're just tuning in, that was Kill Matilda with Zombie Apocalypse. This is What Pink Sounds Like on CITR, and I have two of Kill Matilda's band members in studio with me, Dusty and Michael, and we're talking about their latest album, I Want Revenge. And if you just heard that last song, you kind of get a feel for what they're all about. They're about zombies, and they're on this mission to kill zombies. And that's basically the gist of it, right?
Well, I'd like to think that there's more to us than that, but you know, that's the important thing. That's the thing you need to know right
yes.
off the bat. We're also feminists. We're feminist band. I would also
love that.
I'd like to also say that we promote social awareness, although not always like we're no Rage Against the Machine or anything. But you know, if you really listen, a lot of songs are double entendres. So
yeah,
yeah. We're all about the social justice, actually.
Definitely.
Especially when it comes to women's issues.
Let's talk about that, actually, real quick, because that's something I wanted to bring up. Listening to your album, there's definitely a lot of songs that I sense did have deeper meanings than just, we're about to go kill some zombies, because only we can do this. For example, one song is called A Geisha with a Switchblade. I have that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Geisha with a Switchblade. And, I mean, even the title is pretty provoking in itself. But when you listen to the lyrics, you get the sense that this is something about a larger issue. Tell me about the song and why you decided to write it.
Well, at the time, I was studying, I was an anthropology student here at UBC, and I was taking a class on geisha culture, so I was learning a lot about geisha, so that's kind of where that angle come from. But our song was really like a response to what happened with the missing and murdered women here in Vancouver and the Robert Picton trial and conviction, and, you know, I really wanted to, like, write a song about that and talk about it, but I'm not very good with being, like, sort of preachy or... like just saying something, some political message very plainly. I tend to like, I prefer to kind of use metaphors or
characterization.
Yeah, characterization or whatever. Like I want to talk about that issue, but I want to talk about it lyrically. So the song is essentially from the point of view of a renegade sex trade worker who's decided to like get her own vigilante justice on Robert Picton. So the song is all like, you know, I'm going to cut you up and all this kind of thing. Yeah. But essentially like if you really listen to it, what it's talking about is, getting revenge on Robert Picton.
Yeah.
That's the concept for sure of the album.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, and it's pretty intense, and we were talking about this before we turned them on the mics, but now some people have received that song and received this album as something really powerful and really cool, and some people you've realized have kind of received it and not gotten the message that you thought. How have people received this album?
Well, it's pretty interesting because... So we have gone coast to coast across this country, and every show that we play Geisha with a Switchblade, and Dusty starts off by delivering the message, you know, that the way that the police acted in this case is criminal, right? And
we're seeing that now with the investigation.
Yeah, we're seeing it more and more every day. The news is coming out and saying that they were negligent, hardcore, and just didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we raised this issue, and actually in some of the cities in Ontario and Quebec that we... went back to more than once, we play like 3 or 4 times, like that song like grew in people's hearts big time, like it really grows mm-hmm. in our fans.
You can really tell that they're like they're actually
they
listening.
Get the message and it speaks to them. Now we went across Canada and we sort of did the zombie press release, and we're pushing the zombies all across Canada, and when we came to Vancouver we tried to we have high expectations of Vancouver because we're from here. And, like, we're aware of the issues, and we know that people here are also a little bit more aware of the issues that are going on.
Yeah, and we wanted to focus on that and
on that
what
angle
the
here.
Single was about, what Geisha was about, and, like, why it was important to us, because we've been talking to people about it all the way across the country, and we're like, okay, cool, now we're coming home to Vancouver, and people are going to get it. It's going to be even more powerful, right?
But they just said, blah.
Yeah, we got no, like, the media was really unresponsive to it, and actually, we were on Urban Rush, and we played Geisha with a Switchblade, and I said the thing that I always say, like...
I said,
like, we want to dedicate it to these women, because I don't need to say the whole thing on Urban Rush, but... you know, the investigation had, like, sort of just started as we were getting back. So when we first started, like, playing this song and talking about this with the audience, we didn't even know about that, right? We didn't know that was happening. It just, it's so funny that it was the same time. But, you know, what's funny is, okay, so I said, I want to dedicate this song to the missing and murdered women from the Downtown East Side or something like that. And Urban Rush posts all their things on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And, like, the first comment we got was some person, like, totally dissing us and being like, oh, like, what makes you think that these women, like, care what you have to say, like, blah, 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 totally dissing us. And then the person ends their comment by saying, like, oh, why don't you, just something to think about when you're all having a circle jerk down at the Cambie, right?
Now that
right?
you're famous.
Now that you know you're famous, right? So some total, like, obviously a total Vancouverite, like, making a reference to the Cambie, right? And being all, like, blasé and, like, very...
They basically said that Dusty should just stick to singing about songs about her cat or something like
just,
that.
You know, just shut up, basically. Yeah. It's really funny. It's just when we got back here, this song and the message was not received at all how we thought it would be, essentially. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that we're gonna like change the message or that we're any less motivated to continue writing songs about issues that are important to us, whether people think that like we should or not. Mm-hmm. But it was just a really interesting like thing that happened.
I find usually when bands or anyone really takes a stance to either for or against an issue and really comes out and says a song that or sings a song that's memorable, you're gonna have people who are gonna hate it and you're gonna have people who are gonna love it. And I think the people that commented on that particular YouTube video kind of sounded like trolls, you know, like
I think maybe part of the issue is that the song is not like the lyrics are not plain, you know what I mean? It's not like screw this guy, like this should never happen again, he should go to jail, like it's all in metaphors, right?
Yeah.
So maybe
she says that by saying she's gonna tear him apart, and
so maybe that person listens to the song and they're like, this song doesn't have anything to do with the missing women, like that's mm-hmm. what I thought maybe had happened mm-hmm. there. I'm not sure,
but I think you hit a larger issue in that women from that particular social class, the downtown east side, are definitely women who are not paid attention to. I mean, if it was women from a suburban area who were mostly white, middle class, upper class, who were going missing,
yeah, absolutely.
Then the investigation
and that's exactly,
probably would have happened.
That's exactly what we always say on stage.
Like, every time on stage, that, like, there's the three reasons that the police didn't do anything about it. They're sex trade workers, they're First Nations, and they were drug addicts.
Mm-hmm.
And because of those, because they were like that, the cops thought they're
disposable people, they weren't
not human beings and mm-hmm. weren't worthy of police protection. And it's not like we're trying to like say we're pro or against, we're just trying to spread awareness of this is what happened here in our home, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's a really powerful message. I mean, the same message could be said about I know there's a certain highway stretch in BC where
the highway of tears,
that's actually where I'm from,
yeah, where a Prince lot George. Of Native women go missing every year, and I think it wasn't until a white woman went missing that the police actually started the RCMP.
I actually was in high school when that happened. Yeah, sorry to interrupt you. I was in high school when that happened, and my high school was right next to the mall, so we always used to go to the food court for lunch, and on every table in the food court was this little like thing that said like, have you seen this girl, and a picture of her and stuff. And I actually never knew that there was a number of women who went missing. I thought it was just that one woman, because that's the only time that you ever heard about it. And then like years later I was like, oh really, that's weird, because I'm from there and I never heard that at all, right? Mm-hmm. But like I think her name was like Krista Hora or something. It was like Hoar was her last name, but unfortunate sounding. But yeah, I think that was the only time that anybody, I can tell you because I was there, that was the only time that anybody in that area ever heard about it.
I think it wasn't actually until Amnesty International came here and made it a bigger issue that it got to be an issue in the media.
Yeah.
It took like a worldwide organization.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad that happens in Canada.
And
reserve in Northern Ontario that neither the federal or provincial government in Ontario is doing anything to help. There's like a state of emergency going on there.
Yeah,
and it actually took the Red Cross stepping in. Like the national and the provincial government like have failed these people.
Yeah.
It's amazing that these organizations have to come and point that out. We're Canada. We're not.
This is still a relevant issue for sure, right?
Yeah.
It very much is, and you could point to, I mean, I don't think the fight is over, you know.
Not by a mile.
I think it's powerful that musicians are still coming out and especially you guys, you know, making these songs, and even like you said, it's not saying it literally, but it's kind of saying, hey, there's an issue here that we need to talk about, and we need people to be aware about, and we need to talk about it outside of undergraduate social sciences or humanities classes, right?
Yeah.
Like,
no
we
kidding.
Need to have a broader discussion about it.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's really good about the album is that all the songs are essentially, like, you could just listen to them, and, like, they're fun, and they're, like, they get your blood pumping, like, or you could, like, you know, feel the deeper meaning and be like, yeah, you know, cool, I get this. But either way, like, they're enjoyable on two levels, I would like to think. At least that's what, like, we're really going
for. We enjoy them on several levels.
I don't think that, because, you know, not everybody wants to be, like, bummed out thinking about serious world issues. And, like, that's okay, you know?
Yeah.
I still want those people.
So we rock them with the zombies.
Yeah.
No,
that is, hey, that's a serious issue.
Yeah, that as well.
It's very, very serious.
Yes.
No, I agree. When I first listened to the album, I Want Revenge, it's fun. It definitely gets your heart rate pumping. The first time I played the song during our Fun Drive show last week, I had volunteers and people in the space who were just really happy about it. So I highly recommend all our listeners going checking out I Want Revenge. If you're just joining us, I'm interviewing Dusty and Michael from the band Kill Matilda. They have a new album out called I Want Revenge. Let's play another track here, and I'll just ask you to briefly tell me what's it about, and then we'll bring you back on one more time just to say bye to our listeners and everything, and we can find out what you guys are up to next, besides killing zombies.
Sure.
Tell me about the song No Shame, because this kind of goes along with our conversations about more feminist topics and deeper meanings.
I'd love to tell you about that song. Nobody ever asks me, and I'm always waiting for someone to, like,
pick up on it.
On stage, this is what happens, right? So on stage, usually before we play this song, I say some version of, like, this song is about our favorite topic, teenage pussy, right? This song is all about teenage pussy, pardon my language, right? And then later I'm, like, talking about these women that went missing and, like, how that's important, right? And I'm always waiting for someone to be like, hey, like, how come on one hand you're all, like, being all, like, sexual and objectifying young girls, well, not young girls, but, you know, teenage
women,
girls,
sure.
And then, like, later you're all this, like, what's up, right? Nobody ever picks up on that. I'm still waiting for that to happen. But essentially what this song is about is, it's actually, like, really personal for me, and it's all about, I guess, the balance between wanting to be, like, empowered as a woman and to not be, like, objectified and sexualized. But then if you are, I guess, if you're into both sexes, sometimes there's very hot ladies out there and you think that they're sexy and you're like, yeah. And then you're like, wait, I'm doing that thing that I hate but then, you know, I don't know about you, but, like, when I was a teenager, like, I did find a lot of power through, like, my own sexuality, even though, like, I would say now I'm more comfortable embracing power in different arenas. Like, when I was a teenager, like, that was how I got power and
confidence,
and that's how I felt, you know, that's how I felt I took charge of a situation, like, through sexuality, right? So I guess the song, you could say it's about my experience of being a teenager and a young woman and, like, feeling that I was a sexual being and then growing up to feel that, like, now I'm a feminist and that's, like, not okay, or that, not that it's not okay, but, like, that's a little bit, like, not cool, but then also being a little bit conflicted because I would say that I definitely, there are some women out there that I objectify and maybe they want to be objectified by me, and so it's a very complex situation.
Find her on Facebook, ladies.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, ladies. Call me up. Let's go for coffee.
There you go. I think it is a very complex issue that I think a lot of young feminists face when they're not the whole second wave feminism of...
Yeah, like, when is it okay to want to be sexually objectified? Because sometimes you just want to be, and other times you don't want to be. So I feel like when you're a feminist, you have to, like, people expect you to put out this hardline stance, like, this is how I am all the time. But the fact of the matter is that, like, when it comes to sexuality and gender, it's always context dependent. It depends on the context, really.
It does.
And that makes it a lot more complex to tell a man or to tell people who don't get it. Like, you want to tell people who don't get it, you got to send them a clear message, but it's not clear. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel ya. I'm a women's studies major. There you go.
There you go.
Come on, I feel ya. All right, guys, here's No Shame with Kill Matilda.
Lose count it with the
If you're just tuning in, I've got Dusty and Michael off from Kill Matilda. They're sitting here talking about their latest album, I Want Revenge, right here on What Pink Sounds Like on CITR. You know, before the show ends, I gotta say, guys, what is next for Kill Matilda? What do you guys plan to do next with this album? What do you plan, if you're touring, you know, coming up, any plans for new albums? What's happening?
So we're going to be making a couple music videos here in Vancouver to tour across Canada with, to support our album, I Want Revenge. While we're here in Vancouver, we're also going to be focusing a lot on Vancouver Island, playing a lot of shows over there, as
and
well
Alberta.
As, and as well as Alberta.
And the rest of BC.
And seeing our friends here in Vancouver. We missed our friends, and we wanted to come and get some love, because when you're out there trying to prove yourself a lot of the time,
you're lonely.
You're lonely.
And
it gets hard when you experience...
And nobody knows you, really.
Negativity really hard, so
you
can't go and see your really supportive friends and have them give you the hug that you need.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
After a long day of killing zombies, you just need a hug.
Sometimes you just need a hug.
And a bottle of wine. So music videos, West Coast touring.
We got some secret things in the works that are going to be really exciting, so that if they do come through, you'll hear about them for sure. Because
And if you don't, you'll never know. That it didn't work out.
Is there a website or a MySpace page or any page people can go to and check out what's happening next with you guys?
I recommend going to killmatilda.com. I do that page update that page myself, so it's not always like super updated. But from killmatilda.com, you can access. There are links to Facebook, MySpace, like Reverb Nation. There's links to everywhere, so it's a good starting point. killmatilda.com.
And from there, you can buy our new album and our EP on iTunes, and that will really help us out a lot.
Yes, buy it on iTunes, please.
Buy it for your mom, because you know what? We found out that moms love Kill Matilda.
I'm not even... Yeah, that's actually not even a joke. Like, you'd be surprised by the number of people's moms show up to our shows all the time.
Nice.
And then they take us home.
Sometimes they're French moms and they don't even speak English.
Oh, yeah. They don't even...
Irene Dubay. Oh, my God. She gave me a scarf.
She's so nice.
She couldn't even communicate with me, but she was like, here, take it.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, man. Cool stuff, guys. All right. So, killmatilda.com. Go check it out, and of course, you guys will have to let me know of any upcoming stuff, and I can plug it to my listeners and let them know what is going on.
Yes,
beautiful.
Absolutely.
In the future. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in today, guys.
Thank you.
Anything to add? Did you have one more thing to add?
No, I would take back what I was going to add.
Oh, all right.
thank you. You're so lovely.
Oh, thank you so much. I try. It's the feminism in me.
I drew a lot of little hearts while talking to you.
Aww.
She doesn't normally do that, so that's something
Oh,
good.
Wow. I get the heart approval. Thanks to Dusty and Michael from Kill Matilda, guys. More music coming up right after this quick message.
We'd like to take a moment to thank businesses who have made generous donations to FunDrive 2011. Thank you to Fortune Sound Club, Lotus Land Tattoo, and Sanitary Electric Tattoo Company for helping us continue to provide quality alternative programming from 2011 and into the future.
We'd also like to thank our volunteer sponsors, Bilo Foods and Ethical Bean, for keeping our volunteers sated and caffeinated.
We here at CITR cannot do without your support, so thank you. If you'd like to donate to CITR's Fund Drive 2011, call 604-822-8648. That's 604-822-8648. Or go online to citr.ca/funddrive today.
Get up, stand up, get up. Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to citr.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
That was the Pack AD with their album Sirens, or excuse me, the song Sirens off the album Unpersons. Great, great rock duo. And if you're just tuning in, you missed an amazing interview with Kill Matilda, an up-and-coming Canadian band. I had two of the band members, Dusty and Michael, on the show to talk about their new album, I Want Revenge, and how it's all about killing zombies and kind of on this mission of ridding the world of zombies and taking care of zombie management. It's pretty cool. They had me at zombies just because I really love zombies. Check it out on my blog, whatpingsoundslike.com. I'll have the podcast and the interview up there, as well as information of where you can get their album if you're interested. I know it's available on iTunes. So again, check them out. Kill Matilda. And that was the album, I Want Revenge. Well, I'm going to end the show with, I think, a Christmas tune because I'm feeling Christmassy and holiday-y. And I like the lights everywhere. I'm not going to lie. I'm one of those people. I've got half of my Christmas shopping done, which feels pretty darn nice. Then again, I think the only reason I have half my Christmas shopping done is because if you follow me on my blog, whatpingsoundslike.com at all, you know that I'm kind of not allowed to shop for 30 days. And I've got about 4 days left. Well, shop for myself. I can shop for other people. It's the season of giving. I just can't buy anything for myself because that would be selfish. Anyways, guys, so I'm pretty excited that the holiday season is just around the corner. I hope everyone's making fun plans and everyone's getting into the holiday spirit, whatever holiday you may be celebrating. Don't go anywhere. CITR 101.9 FM has got a whole rest of the day of programming for you. Up next is Linda with Give 'Em the Boot with some Italian music. But for my show, What Pink Sounds Like is going to end with a little She and Him. She and Him, the duo featuring M. Ward and Zooey Deschanel. They put out a Christmas album that I just say I have to love. Here's their rendition of Baby, It's Cold Outside. You'll see they've reversed the typical male and female parts, which I think makes for a very cute change. See you guys next week.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The evening has been
hoping that you drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
Father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace.
So really I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurt me.
Maybe just to have a drink more.
Put some records on while I
play. Neighbors might think
maybe it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No caps to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight
to
now.
To break a spell.
I'll take your hat, your hair looks
I ought well. To say no, no, no.
Mind if I move in close?
At least I want to say that I tried.
What's the sense in hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out. I bet it's cold outside.
Got to get home.
But baby.